chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Pray for Brother Joe this morning. He was on his way to church and his leg started bleeding through his bandage, so had to turn around and go back home. He's hoping to be here tonight. Just pray for him. He really wanted to be here this morning, but just pray that the Lord will allow him to be here tonight and be with his church family. 2 Corinthians 4, in verse number 1. We started last week in this message, and I want to maybe finish it today, maybe not. But I asked the question, what is the mission of our church? And we got a missions conference coming up, and I really believe that God is able to do abundantly above and beyond what we could think or ask. And I think if you believe the Bible and you have faith in the Lord, that you can believe that also. But there are some things that, how many of you know you can quench the Spirit of God? Every single one of us has probably been guilty of it. I know I certainly have. I'll be the first to tell you. I'm not happy to tell you that, but there's been many times where I just simply did not obey God. And I did not obey His will, and you know, the Bible teaches us that we're going to reap what we sow. There's been many times that I've had opportunity to give the gospel to people, and simply I was in my mind too busy. Well, I know this, if God ever convicts you to give the gospel, He's already made a way for you to do it. Amen. And I firmly believe this also. I'll take it a step further. I think if God has convicted you to give someone the gospel, that He's probably already prepared their heart for you to speak to them. Amen. God doesn't ask people to do things by accident. It's never a confusing thing. We know God's not the author of confusion. God is an on-purpose God. He chooses who He wants to choose to do certain jobs. And let's just be honest, God's chosen many men and women before, and the men and women have just said no. For years, I sat and wondered, sitting in a church just like this, God, could you use me like that? Could you use me like that? And for years, Brother Scott, God was saying, I sure would love to use you like that. I would love to use you like that, but you won't let me. You won't let me. You won't let me. We started last week in verse number 1. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. See, God has given us this ministry. Say those two words with me. This ministry. If you are part of this local New Testament church, this ministry should be important to you. Now, this ministry involves a lot of things. It involves a lot of people. It involves a lot of outreach. It involves a lot of tasks that sometimes are difficult. It involves a lot of faith. It involves a lot of spending. It involves a lot of people getting involved. And we talked in Sunday school this morning. What it really should involve is unity. It should involve unity. This ministry God has given to you and I by no mistake. Would everyone agree with that? God has already given us the ability to do exactly what He wants us to do as a local New Testament church right here. So how do I find what it is that God wants me to do? One, we got to talk. We talked about it. It is this ministry must be important to you. We talked in Sunday school a little bit about some ways to help out is to get involved. And we're not going to ask you to raise your hands, but if I were to ask you a question, how are you involved in your local New Testament church? What is it that you are doing in your local New Testament church? What is it that you're doing good for the cause of Christ and good for the furtherance of the gospel? And listen, if you're not involved, I'm just going to break it to you real easy. You won't last long. Amen? Everybody needs a purpose. If you go to work every day and pretty soon everybody is doing what you used to do and taking and you no longer have a purpose, you won't last long. There's ministries all throughout this church, from door knocking to bus visitation to riding a van to nurseries to Sunday school classes to, I mean, you name it, cleaning, whatever it might be. If you don't have a purpose, you won't last long. Houses are full this Sunday morning of people who used to be sitting in church. You don't believe me? Go door knocking and talk to them. And you'll hear, oh, I used to go to church. And one of my favorite things to do, Miss Rosalind, is this. I like to say, well, what happened? Why don't you go to church anymore? And it often breaks my heart to hear the stories of why people don't go to church anymore. And here, if this is where you're at, close to there, let me help you out. It's not really anybody else's fault that you quit on God. Amen? The truth is, if you're doing what you're doing for people, you ain't going to last long either. If all it takes is someone to tick you off and you quit on God, folks, listen, where are we at spiritually? We should be doing what we're doing. I told a gentleman the other day, if every time I got my feelings hurt in a church and I just quit, I wouldn't be here. Y'all all right with that? Look, we're going to get our feelings hurt. People are going to disagree with us. People are going to come up against us. Things are going to happen. I mean, you're going to have to do things. I tell people all the time, some of the things I have to do and encounter as a pastor are things that I don't wish on anybody. I mean, it's good, but it's tough. It's not a job for everybody. I believe pastors are God-called people. I don't believe anybody can just stand up and say, I'm a pastor. I mean, I'm just saying, I wouldn't be here today if God wouldn't have put me here. I was pretty content working underneath of a pastor and saying, hey, go talk to the man. Go talk to the man that can help you. Because I saw what he dealt with day in and day out. And I saw the hours that he spent in people's homes and the hours he spent. And you know, they're always on call, right? Pastors don't take off. The phones ring all the time. That's like I said, it's not for everybody. But I've seen the hours he would spend in hospital rooms with not even church members. Some would be friends and family of other church members because they didn't have a pastor. But God called a man and allowed him to invest. And you know, as a community, you know, it would be good in our community if we, as just the members, the men and the women of New Hope Independent Baptist Church, what would happen if one Thursday evening or one Saturday, everybody showed up to go door knocking? You telling me you can't spare 1 hour of your week to come knock on a door? Why? Why? I'll answer the question for you. It's because it's not important to you. Amen? We make time for the things that we want to do. Right? But one of these days, we've got to make up our mind that this ministry is important. This ministry that God has given us is important. I remember a time, and I am 100% ashamed to tell this story, but I'm going to tell it to you just because I'm not ashamed to tell you that I used to have some pretty sore priorities, Harvey. I remember skipping bus visitation to watch football on Saturdays. Did y'all hear what I just said? Everybody all right? I remember saying, well, can't we schedule bus visitation around the Alabama game? Look, I'm an Alabama fan through and through. You ain't going to find nobody more roll tied than me, I promise. Now look at my socks right here. Y'all see that one? Look at that one. It don't even match, but it's still roll tied. Hey, I'm roll tied through and through. Miss Michelle. I love the reaction sometimes. Look, I'm roll tied through and through, but I remember prioritizing a football game over going and knocking on the doors of people that are supposed to be at church on Sunday mornings. And then I would be a coward and show up Sunday morning and play the part that I wasn't who I really was. I'd be there on the bus early, starting it up, making sure it's warm. Because in Alaska, man, well, you got to go start that thing 2 hours early in the wintertime, or it ain't even going to be comfortable to get on. Oh, I'd show up for that, but why? Because something I thought was important wasn't going on. Yet I'd just skip. Wouldn't go door knock. I care about them. No, I didn't. And God convicted me of that. He said, son, when are you going to learn that the things that I have given you to do are more important than all the carnality of this world? All of it. So I'll ask the question again. I wonder how many could make room for 1 hour a month to come out and door knock. Just 1 hour. Answer that in your hearts. 1 hour. I'll tell you something. This ministry would be a lot more important to you if you were involved in it. Not just giving and sitting in the church pew. The ministry would become something that you fell in love with. You would fall in love with the heart of a young man who desires to have a godly man in his life. You'd fall in love with a young lady who would love to have a mother like you could be. And they would steal your heart right out of your chest. And I promise you, when that happens, there'll not be anything carnal that takes the place of that love. A man said it to me like this: it's a good thing the Super Bowl and the crucifixion wasn't scheduled on the same day. Y'all hear what I said? Boy, it got quiet. It's a good thing the Super Bowl and the crucifixion wasn't scheduled on the same day, ain't it? Wonder what Jesus would have chose. Well, I'm scheduled to die for the sin of mankind right now. But, game's coming on. Everybody all right? That should hurt. Because that's how I used to be, and I know how I felt. I felt like the biggest coward on the planet. When God really convicted me and I began to see that I wasn't looking at the world through the eyes of Jesus. I was looking at the world through the eyes of me. And I was wrong. I was what I'm about to preach about. I was crafty. I was cunning. I was deceiving. I was someone on the outward, but not really that person on the inside. But see, the problem with that is I could fool people all day long. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You can play the part and be somebody in front of people and they'll believe you. But who looks on the heart? Who looks on the heart? God does. And see, when I began to realize, Brother Harold, it was this. When I die, not a single one of these men or women that I'm striving to impress am I going to answer to at that judgment seat. They're not going to be there for me to ask questions to. They're not going to be there to shake my hand and clap their hands and cheer me on. I'm going to have to answer to the Creator of all mankind, Jesus Christ. That's who you got to answer to. And when that became a reality in my mind, Brother Eric, my mind changed on some things. I thought to myself, all through the Old Testament, kings fell and nations fell because why? Because they cowered down to what God said and they did what man said do. And every single time they did that, their whole nation paid for it. Am I right? You remember a man named Saul who had the whole kingdom taken away from him because of jealousy and because of his pride. And you know what God said? It's to obey is better than what? Sacrifice. When I learned, and again, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be perfect. But I want to be better than I used to be. I want to be better spiritually a year from now than I am today. And if I'm not, what am I doing? I'm being deceptive. Verse 2 says this in 2 Corinthians 4, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We talked about that a little bit last week. All of us deal with dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I got the opportunity this week. I've been thinking about this, handling the Word of God deceitfully. And something I've been trying to practice here of recent is this. If someone asks me a question, I would like to be able to give a biblical explanation answer. Does that make sense? Because I don't want them to leave the conversation confused that, well, Brother Drew said this. I would like it to be, what thus saith the Lord. And if I'm taking the King James Bible and I'm saying, okay, here's what the Bible says about the issue that you're asking me about. Number one, it's not about me. It's what the Bible says. There's a lot of that Bible in there that, let's just be real, if it wasn't in there, my life would be a lot easier. Would yours? Certainly. Because our sin would be justified. So I'm at the school teaching the other day, and Mrs. Harold called me the day before and she said, Pastor, could you sub for me on Friday and teach a Bible class? She teaches Spanish. And at first I was like, I'm not teaching Spanish. That ain't happening. They're not going to learn much. But she said, well, some spiritual conversations came up, and I'd really like you to open the Bible and do what the Lord leads you to do, and ask them about the conversations that we had in class the previous day. So I did. I took them through salvation by grace through faith, and then eternal life, and there was a lot of questions asked, but a couple of, you know, when you get into the Bible, people are going to start asking you why you believe what you believe. What do you think about this? Well, one of the questions came up, and a young lady raised her hand, and she said, what do you think about a woman being a pastor? And I said, listen, that's a simple answer. Women shouldn't preach. Don't you know that? Is that what I did? I said, honey, what does the Bible say? We took her over to 1 Timothy 3, and we opened up the Bible, and the qualifications of a bishop or pastor are laid out. And I asked them, I said, do anybody here know what pronouns are? Everybody raise their hand. Well, all the pronouns when it talks about the bishop are he or his. Now, that's a what? A male. Amen? Is it? And then we went on to it. It said the husband of one wife. I said, can a woman be the husband of one wife? And what bothered me, and listen, this is silly, but what bothered me is it tricked a couple of their minds when I asked that question. I said, can a woman be the husband of one wife? And some of them were like, wait, what? And I thought to myself, this is the reason God has us here. This is why we're doing what we're doing. The devil has their eyes blinded. To you and I, it's a pretty common sense answer. A woman cannot be a husband. Amen? That's quiet. A woman cannot be a husband. Amen? Look, if you believe that, this ain't the place for you. All right? You need more of that right there. Okay, a woman can't be a husband. But I opened the Bible and I showed that. And then another guy asked a question, well, because my mom don't go to church anymore, is she still saved? We went over what salvation was. I said, let me take you to the Bible and show you eternal security. And they're like, you're telling me that Jesus loved me so much that even though I do wrong, I don't have to get re-saved every time I sin? I said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. I said, Christ Jesus died unto sin once. He was buried once. He rose again once. And I said, he's coming back. I said, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God's just showing me, this is what you should be doing. This is what it's all about. There are people out here who just don't know. Whose responsibility are they? Folks, that's us. And it was such a blessing to be able to answer those questions. Another young man asked me the question. He said, so, am I in sin if I don't use a King James Bible? And I said, number one, let me tell you something. I'm not King James ugly, but I am King James only. And I said, son, go with me to the book of Revelation. In the very end of it, the last thing God commanded us to do and not to do. Or not to do. He said, don't take away from my word and don't add to my word. I said, if the King James Bible was the first English preserved Bible given to us by the Holy Ghost, amen, by the Holy Ghost, it was given to us in our language because God knew we weren't going to be able to read Greek and Hebrew. Everybody okay with that? You go find an original manuscript and see how much you learn. Good luck. But we have a God who preserved his word to us, right? I got to he was like, what? I said, yeah, brother. And I said, one of these days I'll come back in and I'll do a scripture comparison for you. And I'll show you why the King James Bible says what it says versus what some of your versions that you're reading. Now, did I condemn them and say you're all going to hell for reading those versions? No. I didn't do that. You know why? Because they don't know. Hey, somebody had to teach me. I had to learn. Once I heard it, now I could to this day say, oh yeah, I believe a King James Bible, but I ain't got no idea why. That's where some of us as Christians are at. We don't know why we believe what we believe. Hey, you should know why you believe what you believe. Amen? Study to show thyself approved unto God. And as I'm answering these questions, the Holy Spirit's just saying, this is your mission. This is your church's mission. To reach a lost and dying world with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why we're here. We're here for no other reason. Now, we get the bonuses. We get to coach and have a good time. And we get to do activities. All that's great and stuff. But that's just promotion stuff to get them here. And that's worth it to me. Amen? It's worth it. It's a good time. It's worth it to get them in the door. But the real reason we're here is to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That word deceptive means giving an appearance or impression different from the true one, misleading. You know, we should never be misleading as Christians. You say, what do you mean? I mean, on Monday, we should be a Christian just like we're a Christian today. Amen? In front of the boys, we should be a Christian just like we would be talking around our brethren at church. Right? We should never try to mislead people and let them wonder, well, that guy right there, he claims to be something he ain't. Listen, that's one of the most embarrassing things that'll ever happen to you. Say, how do you know? Because it's happened to me. I've had people come up to me and say, aren't you a youth pastor? Don't you preach against what you just did? And I think to myself, my flesh says, do as I say, not as I do, right? But you know how convenient that is? To have to look that man in the eyes who five of his children were in my youth group. And he's got me cornered. They wasn't no way out. Except, you're right. And I appreciate you calling me out on that. I appreciate you as a lost man holding me as a saved man accountable. Y'all hear what I'm saying here? You know, there's more lost people that'll hold us accountable than saved people. Why is it that we can't come together as a church and learn to hold each other accountable for our actions, right? It shouldn't be like that. We should never mislead. We must, as members of a local church, be very careful who we trust. We must learn to understand that God's way is always the right way. The Bible does teach, let God be true and every man a what? A liar. We must learn to let God be true. And by doing this, we must learn to put our feelings aside. Hey, listen, without being mean here, can I just say something? Feelings really don't matter. Everybody all right with that? I mean, I know that some of you think that your feelings change the world, but, you know, that's like that baby butcher in Kamala Harris. Everybody all right? I said baby butcher in Kamala Harris. She thinks her feelings are going to dictate what we should believe. Hey, straight out of hell. Everybody okay? Last time I read my Bible, it said, thou shalt not kill. Everybody all right? And don't think I'm mad because I'm preaching this. I'm being honest. Christians should stand against that stuff. And if you don't, you're part of them. Amen. Don't tell me that you fear God and vote for a baby butcherer. Don't tell me that. Don't do it. Don't tell me you fear God and yet you vote for same-sex marriage. Everybody all right? That stuff's so anti-God it ain't even funny. The devil's behind that stuff. And you want to talk about being unified with your church? Hey, you ain't unified with me if you're voting like that. Everybody all right? You better understand what God says is true. And understand this. Vote how you want to. This is America. But God will hold you accountable. You will be accountable how you vote in our nation. This nation used to be a God-fearing nation. It no longer is a God-fearing nation. Amen? It's just simple. It's not. And if you love your country, you should want godly leadership. And I understand we're not going to get a perfect president. You're not going to be a perfect dad. You're not going to be a perfect mom. But hey, a little bit of God's better than none at all, right? Y'all okay? A little bit of God's better than none at all. Say, how in the world does this have anything to do with us? How does this have to do with missions? You know what missionaries have to do? They have to put their feelings aside. You're about to meet some families here who I know personally, or wouldn't I ask them to come here if I didn't know them or know their testimony and know what they believed. You're about to meet some people who, in general, have it pretty good in their local church. They were doing just fine. And I'm sure in their heart and their feelings, they're like, I don't know if I want to leave my church. I don't know if I want to leave my home, my job. I'm established. But you know what missionaries do? They put the big eye aside. And they say, God, whatever it is that you want me to do, you just tell me and I'll be faithful. You just tell me and I'll go. Hey, you want to change your mind on missions? Go visit some of the missionaries in them countries. Go spend a couple of weeks down there. Those of you who can afford to do it. Go on a missions trip. Pack your bags. Leave your money at home. Go live like they live for a couple of weeks. Rely on God for a couple of weeks. See what happens. You'll come back thanking God that He's given you and I the ability to support them. Your mind and your heart will change. You walk off into a village in Alaska where it's 60 or 70 degrees below zero, and immediately our mind thinks, nope. How many just thought that? Just about every one of us. But in that village lies 1,000 Native Alaskans with souls. Hello? 1,000 of them. Who's going to reach them? Somebody's got to, you know, how shall they hear without a what? Preacher? How's a preacher going to get there? Well, God uses the local church. Amen? To get them there. Let God break your heart in the ministry of missions coming up. Pray about what God can do through you. Missionaries have to put everything aside and to learn to put their whole faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They have been called to do the unthinkable. Go to the world's unknown, not knowing what lies ahead. They put themselves aside. They refuse to be deceived by Satan and his lies. They choose to believe Jesus Christ. I'm thinking of a missionary right now who about a little over a year ago now, well, about a year and a half ago now, gave his life for what he believed. You know where he was sent to? Baghdad, Iraq. When he got called there, Brother Truell, he had two daughters. When he got called, two little girls and a wife. Had another little girl and a little boy while they were on the mission field. They were on the mission field for about, I think, 13 or 14 years. And many people said, Brother Truell, are you really willing to take your family into Baghdad, Iraq? He said, I'm safer in Baghdad, Iraq than I am in South Georgia if that's where God wants me to be. Now he's going down with the martyrs. He got shot, killed for what he believed. But I saw the picture of that man as he was dying with a smile on his face. You know why? Because he had given everything for Jesus. Jesus was worth it to him. That man didn't die mad. He didn't die bitter. He died doing what God asked him to do. How you doing? How we doing? How we doing? We must believe and choose Jesus. We must learn to not handle the Word of God deceitfully or guilty of or involving deceit, deceiving or misleading others. As a preacher of the Word of God, I would never want to purposely mislead anyone. I want to tell you the truth. And here's the reality. A lot of us are asked questions sometimes that we just don't know the answer to. Anybody ever been asked a question that you just, in your heart, you're like, I don't know how to answer this? The best thing you could do is say, let me pray about this. Let me get some counsel, and I'll get back to you. Don't just answer because you think you need to answer. If you don't know, hey, you don't know, right? You put that toy together wrong, it'll last for a minute, maybe. But if the wheels come flying off, because I skipped a step, right? Hey, be careful. I don't ever want to purposely mislead anyone. I know the one who is the truth. I know where I can find the truth in the Word of God. I don't want to mislead you this morning in the subject of missions. I want you to understand that these missionaries are sacrificing everything. And what we do as a local church to support them, can I tell you this? It means the world to them. It means the world to them. Right now, we're supporting a few missionaries on a monthly basis. But I wonder if you've asked the question to God, God, what is it that we, in unity, as New Hope Independent Baptist Church, could do in the upcoming year in the area of missions? And let me tell you a secret. If you're looking at carnal possessions and trying to answer that question, forget it. Ask the Lord, God, by faith, what could we do as a church? How many more missionaries could we support by faith? Trusting in you, not me. Trusting in you. What more could we do? I wonder if he would be satisfied if we went through another year without having added another missionary by faith to support. I wonder if God would be happy about that. I wonder when God looks at New Hope Independent Baptist Church, does he see a church full of faith? I hope when God looks at our church that he's happy and that he is pleased. But I also never want to be complacent. I always want to push forward for the ministry. But it's going to take sacrifice. Time, talent, and treasures. It's going to take sacrifice. It takes love. It takes faith. It takes giving. And it takes all of us on board as a New Testament church by faith to trust the Lord with what we're doing. After all, verse number 3 pretty much says it all. What does verse number 3 say in 2 Corinthians 4? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? How sad would it be? And I believe this with all my heart. According to the book of Isaiah, every time God gives you an opportunity to speak of Him and you do not, the Bible says that that blood will be required at your hands. So imagine getting to heaven and every time someone passes that God said, hey, I gave you an opportunity to witness to this next one who's about to come meet me face to face. I could picture it like this. Hey, Brother Drew, come here. Yes, Lord. Oh, I just want you to watch this one get cast into outer darkness because you refused to tell them about me. I want you to see the danger. And I could picture a couple of days going by and you think there's not mourning in heaven right now? Hello? Oh, it's there. I could picture a couple of days going by and maybe things are smoothing back out and another one. Hey, Brother Drew, come back. Remember on this day when I told you to witness to that family and you just didn't have time? Well, that family just got in a car accident, son. And every one of them died and went to hell. And I want you to see. If that don't give you chills, nothing will. Folks, God's real and hell's hot. We better get busy. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. The piano.